Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios, and it looks like we are headed to Game 6 in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Boston Celtics came out strong in the fourth quarter as well. They now lead the Heat by 16 with just over 6 minutes left to play, 107-91. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, the heads of this two-headed snake that has the Celtics back from what looked like they were teetering on the brink of being eliminated. They came out so strong in the third quarter. Tatum's got 28 now. Jaylen Brown has 24. This is the perfect game for the Celtics. They're getting it from everywhere. And the Heat have to be saying to themselves at this point, all right, this is not our night. And we're going to go and we're going to have a Game 6 in the Eastern Conference Finals coming up this weekend. A 16-point lead for Boston with just over 6 minutes left to go. Mike Harmon, your Celtics, who you picked to go to the finals, your Celtics,
that's right,
are sitting here keeping things alive,
staving off elimination. The key, you look at the play-by-play, watching it on television, you got your Gordon Hayward appearance here, making the last couple of shots for the Celtics, getting more active on the offensive end. That's a good sign, as it were. You know, you talk about Jaylen Brown doing a lot, the yeoman's work, as is Jason Tatum along the way. And our guy, your man, Tyler Hero, his shot remains broken, if only for one day.
So this is where we sit right now. We'll have more on this game coming up in a bit, but it has been a Celtics runaway since early in the third quarter. Again, a 16-point lead for the Celtics. We're getting ready for Game 6 on Sunday. But today is a big day. Look, we always have a fun football Friday, and there's so many big games in the NFL this week. You know, we've gone from the first couple weeks, the excitement, it doesn't matter the matchups, as long as teams are playing, that's kind of what we love to see. And now we get to the point where it's like, okay, let's take a look at what are the big, and we have so many big matchups this week. First of all, you got the Monday night one between the Chiefs and the Ravens. It's a big deal. We have the Cowboys and the Seahawks. We talked about that game a few minutes ago. We have Green Bay, New Orleans, Oakland, New England, Tampa Bay, Denver. We have so many big games. But really, the Sunday game to me that is the most interesting is Oakland and New England, because people are kind of getting the narrative of what's gone on with the Patriots wrong so far. It's always been about Cam Newton the last couple weeks, right? Cam Newton signs. He was a star in the NFL for a long time. Then he was injured, didn't really play last year. And now he's back, and look at what he's done. Had an okay week one, and then had a really big week two. I like to say about Cam Newton, let's see if he's still doing this at week eight. But so far, it's been a big start for Cam Newton. And Cam gets all the attention. Look, he played great on Sunday. He threw for 400 yards against the Seahawks defense. And oh, by the way, just to let you know again, Jamal Adams is not great in coverage. I told you that. I told you his ball skills are suspect. And surprise, here's a guy that you put on your team. Here's the newest acquisition, and your pass defense looks terrible the first 2 weeks. I hate to say I told you so, but I don't, because I really told you so. I would say
work out of the slot. That's it.
Yeah, but
whoever's
he's
there, if it's CeeDee Lamb, he's eating up. He's feasting. Yeah. He'll have a tattoo on his belly before it's over.
But, you know, because Jamal Adams blocked me on Twitter, so I can't, you know, I can't say anything to him.
Do you want me to send it to him?
No. That's okay. No, he probably blocked
my
you,
guy,
too.
Jason Smith. Here's you blankety blank.
No, then he'll block you, too, and then we won't know when he's complaining about things.
Someone else will screenshot it and send it to us. It'll be fine.
No, look, he's already complaining today. He told Quandre Diggs, if you get thrown out again, I'll unfollow you on Instagram. I'll do all these things. I mean, suddenly now, oh, okay. Oh, so now let me deflect the blame.
Take your lunch money.
Where it's away. Yeah.
It.
Let me deflect the blame. I won't follow you on social media. I'll do all this. Wait a minute, dude. You were out there. Okay, he got thrown out. Yes, bad play. But you were out there. Okay, so what are you saying? So whose fault is it? It's like, it's not my fault. Hey, we had a guy get thrown out. He can't get thrown out again. I said it about Jamal Adams. Everything was great. The honeymoon period. Just watch. Just watch. Trust me. Things are going to get sideways fast because that's who he's always been. Just watch. Trust me. But more so about this game, about the Patriots and the Raiders, is that it's not really about Cam Newton, because you say, oh, look at the credit. Look at Cam Newton running this offense, all these things. Cam is great. Well, you know, Cam was just okay for a lot of years. And, he had his stride for a few years, but he hasn't really been good in 5 years. Suddenly, what's happened? Here he is in New England, and the offense looks like this is the offense they've been running for years. And Cam Newton looks so comfortable after two games running an offense that is brand new with no preseason snaps, none of that, and here he's doing it. Yes, Cam Newton's doing great, but this is all about Bill Belichick and the Tom Brady middle finger tour that he is on this year. You really think it was Brady? You think it was Brady? Okay, you watch. And suddenly here he is with my new quarterback, with Cam Newton, who people thought was washed up and nobody left. Look at what's going on right here with him now. This is about Belichick showing everybody, I'm the genius. I'll show up at a press conference wearing a ripped sweatshirt. I don't care. I'm cool. My hair is all musty. Up. I'm cool. He is the guy that, as the season goes on, it's going to be, boy, well, maybe it really was Bill Belichick. This is what he is bent on doing this year. And we've said he's wanted to try to win with nobody. They didn't make any real improvements to this team, so we can stand up and say, look at the team I'm winning with. My first draft pick was a D3 guy. That's a project. We didn't go out and sign anybody in free agency. We let guys go. And look where we are. Look where we're one play away from being at the top of the AFC East after two games. And look where, and this is about me. And trust me, it's all great that Cam Newton is playing well, but this is not about Cam as much as it's about Bill Belichick. And this is about him showing he's a genius and showing that he can do things that nobody else can. And you watch on Sunday, this mid-level passing attack that the Raiders have had a lot of success with. Look, they're coming off an emotional game, primetime, Monday night win. Watch him slow Derek Carr down, because in the end, Derek Carr still is not that good. He will slow Derek Carr down, beat Oakland on Sunday, and it's going to be, boy, look at this, another big win. We'll focus on Cam Newton, but it's really about Bill Belichick. They're going to win this game, and Oakland's going to be bamboozled all around. They'll show highlights of the tuck play and everything else and all that, but it's going to wind up being the Patriots win. Derek Carr is going to look bad. The Patriots are going to find a way to confuse him, even though he likes to use every single wide receiver on the field, and they're going to wind up winning this game, and slowly but surely, every week is going to be, boy, look how better off the Patriots are without Tom Brady. And that's going to be a headline that he desires the entire way. Doesn't matter if Cam gets the credit, but if that headline is Pat's better without Brady, that's him getting that benefit of the doubt and getting credit for the success of the Patriots.
Well, because you know on the other side, playing against Derek Carr, how does he beat you? Check, check, check. Nah. Pay this man his money. That's what it comes down to, all right? Just dinking and dunking. What, the only play downfield was a throw to Ruggs where they just tried to draw pass interference. And you know what? It worked. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's small. And you like that, don't you? Darren Waller, for whatever reason, the Saints didn't bother to cover him all night long. I guarantee you, Bill Belichick knows exactly where he will be in every route. I feel bad for Bill Belichick. He got hammered for the look the other day. Going through a lot. Obviously, you're into a new season. He had just lost his mom last week. Bunch of stuff rolling. And in the end, well, he doesn't owe you a clean-cut look. So, everybody that was mad about it, get over yourselves. And any hats, any sweatshirts, whatever else, you know what? If that's what you're focusing on, you're missing the bigger picture. But when it comes down to this one, I think you're right. I mean, Belichick, certainly it is an arms race with Tom Brady. And Brady, had it not been for a couple of drops, he would have had the gaudy stat line last week, right? Scotty Miller dropped one, and then LeSean McCoy dropped one and should still be running laps for the one he dropped. Those are a couple of touchdown passes, and the narrative on Brady changes a bit. I would say along the way. But, you know, as we go through the head-to-head, and certainly with Belichick, it's a play the next opponent, right? We're on to blank. and the Seattle game, you had to come with a completely different strategy than you did with Miami. You knew you could play bully ball, and Cam was ready to go and took, 15 carries, 14 of them were design plays and design runs. Last week, they knew they had to get into a little bit of a shootout with Seattle, and they come up just short. Again, I still think he saw the yellow line that is supposed to be, a figment of your imagination, and thought that he was diving to that. But that's neither here nor there. This week, it's against Vegas. And as we saw, New Orleans chopped them up for a good quarter plus before we realized, hey, Drew Brees is a bit off in the offense. And we realized maybe the New Orleans defense isn't all it was cracked up to be either. So I'm expecting points in this one, but I do think in the end, Bill Belichick will get the last laugh. He'll walk to midfield, smile at John, or smirk probably more appropriately, at John Gruden, who will be losing his mind after getting beaten by this squad, saying, you have Cam and who else? This guy?
But look, that's really – look, Belichick wants to show if you're talking about – now, this is what's motivated him, not playing with Brady, wanting Brady gone, because he has wanted Brady gone, and I'm going to do it with nobody. You think that was a plan, that we're going to be quiet? And who are you going to sign a free agency? Nobody. What are you going to do? We're going to let everybody go. Really? Yes, we're going to let all the good players go and all the guys who have been good with us for years. We're going to let them all go, and I'm going to show you I can win with nothing. And here comes a quarterback because I need somebody. And, hey, Cam Newton was just sitting around. Nobody wanted him. I'll bring him in, and as long as the Patriots were trying, hey, we're coming in, and we're going to win, and look what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this with Cam Newton, who was sitting out there and nobody else had. As the season goes on, Belichick's going to get more and more credit for what's happening, and Better Off Without Brady is going to be ahead. He's going to have those headlines stapled up and taped up on his big football wall in his house, where it's going to be where no one else gets to see it except for him. Like, it's only his room, and it's going to be all the big Patriots don't need Brady. Brady, two more interceptions and loss, and it's going to look like that kind of room, like when cops are trying to figure out a way. All right, where does the money go? Here's the bag man, and here's the guy in the corner, and here's this. That's what his room is going to look like, with all kinds of headlines about the Patriots being better off without Brady. Top to bottom, that's how it's going to go.
I like the way you think, and I think the way that'll also flow is every picture associated with it will be when he was cackling like a madman when he was on Letterman all those years ago. Because you want a good picture of smiling Belichick, that's where you find it.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. So that is Raiders Patriots. I'm going to tell you right now, Mike, that there's going to be a surprise team at 5-0 who's going to sit there at 5-0, and we're going to go, what? And not only are they going to be 5-0, they're going to be 5-0, they're going to the playoffs, and their story will take over this year, because they're going to win on Sunday because of the matchups they have. Then they're going to beat the Carolina Panthers the week after that. Then they're going to beat the Jets, and they're going to be sitting at 5-0, and we're going to be saying, wow, look at the Arizona Cardinals, 5-0 and going to the playoffs, because that's exactly what's going to happen. Not only has Arizona gotten better, you saw the improvement they made, the trade for DeAndre Hopkins. Look, the guy's caught 84 passes already in the first 2 weeks. I mean, this trade is just incredibly great for them. And it's like, I can't believe it. We got so lucky. And the Jets can't catch a break. But look at this. Kyler Murray is just every week he is becoming an elite quarterback. And now he's got his guy in DeAndre Hopkins. And it's an easy schedule, because that's something that's a big deal. When you see big improvements, the schedule has a lot to do with it. And when you get to go Detroit, Carolina, and the Jets, boy, that's 3 weeks in a row. You're walking away from that going, we're going to be 5-0. They still have Miami and the Giants on their schedule later on this year. So that's without even looking at 7 wins. They can win 3 the rest of the way, and it doesn't matter. They'll get in the playoffs at least as a wild card in 10 wins. Arizona is really good. Their attention all goes to Kyler Murray and the passing game. I get it. But they're 5th in rushing because they're doing it the modern way. Kyler Murray gaining yards, and they're also going to give the ball to their running back, and Kenyon Drake is going to be able to supplement that rushing attack. And so it's not just about throwing the football. It's about gaining yards on the ground. But you don't give them as much credit for it because, okay, it's Kyler Murray who's the quarterback, but that's what their ground game is about. It's about Kyler Murray running when he can and Drake doing it. It's a great 1-2 combo because Murray's the one both throwing the football and rushing. But this offense is really, really dangerous. And they're going to beat a lot of teams, and they're going to beat a lot of bad teams, and they're going to be in the playoffs.
I enjoy watching the growth of Kyler Murray, just decision-making and everything. It seems to have slowed down already, right? We weren't quite sure coming into the year without having a full off season, having the extra work. DeAndre Hopkins comes over. Look, he's good enough that he can erase a lot of mistakes, that we know. Likewise, Larry Fitzgerald, just put the ball near where the spot is supposed to be. If it's within his wingspan, he's going to catch it. Now Kirk's banged up a little bit. Your deep threat. You got, Dan Arnold, your tight end, who expect a little more from him. And Kenyon Drake, look, give him a lot of credit. He told fantasy owners to beat it this week because they were getting down on him. It's like, you know what? We won. Go away. And he still put up a strong day. Just, you know, he's not plunging a bunch of touchdowns in, much to the chagrin of his, you know, fantasy, you know, owners, raw managers, whatever term you want to use, that offensively they're going to be fine. Defensively, it's always just the question of, you know, is there the play to be made if a game's close late? And right now they're banged up. Buda Baker and a couple other players in that back seven. A little bit softened up for this weekend. So we'll see what happens here. I was not calling them soft. It was just the idea that they're all on the injury report is the point.
Yes.
And that is, you know, where historically Arizona's had one or two playmakers and nine Jags. This year looked like it was rounding out a little bit. So the hope is that they can stay healthy and not be afflicted by what is ravaged the rest of the league. But you look around, it's them and Seattle. San Francisco won't play cream puffs forever.
Watch out. Arizona, my Cardinals, it's 5-0. They're going to be 5-0 in the talk of football.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What is that line from It's a Wonderful Life? Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
That's damn right.
Right. I feel like every time a baseball game ends, a team clinches a playoff berth. Every time the game ends, hey, guess who's going to the playoffs? Hey, as we talked earlier in the show, congratulations to the Miami Marlins in the playoffs at clinching on the four-year anniversary of the death of Jose Fernandez, a season that it didn't even look like they were going to be able to play with the COVID-19 outbreak they had. And not only were they able to come back, finish the season, they're going to the playoffs. They clinch earlier tonight. A great story for Don Mattingly. And joining the Marlins in the playoffs moments ago, my Cincinnati Reds, because I remember my Reds, because I said, who's one of my big Dark Horse World Series teams? I gave you the Padres. I gave you the Reds. I gave you another team that doesn't matter, but I gave you the Padres. I gave you the Padres.
Yeah, I gave you the Reds. Flippin' Marlins, so blank you. All right,
Mike's
so I did
Marlins.
So flippantly, but yeah, they were my Marlins.
But the Reds are going to the playoffs, despite the fact they're technically in third place in the NL Central, and the Cardinals are between them, and they haven't clinched a playoff spot yet.
Doesn't matter. Weird
Major League Baseball, but I told you the Cincinnati Reds, watch out. Why? Because of the big three pitching. And the Reds can give a lot of teams problems, and here they are going to the playoffs. They just show that, listen, you got to be a game or two above 500. That's going to get you in the playoffs, and here they are. The Reds are in. Two of the three big teams I gave you are in. The other team doesn't matter, but two of the three big teams I gave you, I said, watch out, Dark Horse World Series teams, Padres and the Reds, there they are.
You know, I love the fact, and we talked about it a little last hour, but just the idea that we got to this point in the Major League Baseball season. Say nothing of the fact that my White Sox are flailing. They clinched and then seemingly packed up for the rest of the regular season. But that's a whole other issue that we'll have to address here in short order. But when we look at the baseball season as a whole, a lot of starts and stops, the lamentation of the seven-inning doubleheaders, a lot of hand-wringing of did we make the right choice, and when there were positive tests, the voices seem to have gotten one of those. Remember when Bart Simpson grabbed a bunch of megaphones and strung them all together? mm-hmm. and then cleared his throat, went testing, and everything kind of blew up. That's what everybody expected to happen at the site of any positive tests. But you know what? They rallied. They quarantined guys. They took a few days off. They took more tests. Again, you know, we've gone through the issues with false positives. We had that in the NFL. But here it was, all right, let's keep our heads. Let's be calm. Let's follow protocols. And let's try to do what we can within the schedule. And, look, I have no idea how many more contingency plans they had laid out as the season went on. I got to imagine there's a lot of scraps of paper in the commissioner's office and the other, you know, head honchos of Major League Baseball with all sorts of ideas of how to make a playoff work. Because let's face it, that's where the money is. And that's what they've been worried about most, just getting to the playoffs and then, you know, working plan two to make that happen. But the fact that we're at the end of the regular season, we're getting these teams clinching, sorry, no Mets, is just a celebration of, you know, taking science, taking your resources, and let's face it, there's a lot of money that goes into testing and the protocols that they're going through, but committing that money and committing to the process and, you know, assuming it's all on the up and up, which with everything, we're always wondering where the gray area is. But we got to this point, so I'm going to take it as a win in what has otherwise been a miserable experience for many reasons in the 2020 campaign. I'm going to take Major League Baseball getting to games 58, 59, and 60 as a win, and I'm going to spike the ball.
See, and it's just I hear what you're saying, but it's they're lucky. Major League Baseball is lucky
because sure. it's going to require luck. Absolutely.
Well, no, but they're lucky because they screwed themselves. Because the one big thing, what did we talk about when this happened? You know you're going to have COVID outbreaks. But because you couldn't negotiate away until it came down to the end because you treated it like it was a CBA negotiation and not, hey, this is COVID-19 and a pandemic and how are we going to do things? You said, okay, now we got to jam 60 games in 2 months. And there's no wiggle room if teams wind up having positive COVID-19 tests. And that's what really got dicey was we were at a point in the first couple weeks of the season where it was, can they even still play? Can they even play 60 games? Because the one thing that sports know you need to do is, okay, when you're going to get positive COVID-19 tests, build in some wiggle room, you know, so you can make up games and not have to worry about, well, you know, here are the Marlins, you're going to load them up with doubleheaders and we're going to play 7-inning doubleheaders and just the insanity that we saw the past couple of months. Now, really, they were lucky. They were lucky that when it got to that tipping point, they were able to come back from the edge and finish out the season. Everybody is getting close to that 60-game mark, and no one has to sit back and say, well, we're only playing 50 games, so it's winning percentage. Baseball was lucky, and they caught a big break, and now we're getting to the playoffs, and things are going to be much better and much smoother. We're talking about the bubble and where everybody's going, and it should be a lot easier not to worry about COVID-19 outbreaks, but baseball was extremely lucky. They dodged a big boulder that was threatening to just flatten the season, and they got so that season turned on that bit of luck going their way, and that's one thing that you can say. All right, maybe we got a break, as you said in 2020. We finally got a break we needed, but it was a break that went our way because clearly baseball, they nearly screwed themselves out of any kind of normal or regular season that has some kind of gravitas to it where teams can say, okay, this was legit. It was almost one of those, what kind of legitimate season are we going to have? Kind of like what's going on with college football right now.
Hey, man, it's legit. Someone will hoist a trophy. There will be celebrations socially distanced where they all pour champagne on themselves 48 hours later. There'll be muted parades, whatever it is. But there will be a World Series champion. And as I learned very early in my life, you know what? Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. One other thing we know is there is going to be Game 6 in the Eastern Conference Finals. Because what looked like it was going to be a Miami Heat win, they controlled the game the entire first half. Boston was only down 7, but it felt like they were down 15. They come out with a huge 40-point third quarter, and they blow by the Heat 121-108. Jason Tatum, 31 points and 10 rebounds. Jaylen Brown has 28. Game 6 is Sunday. And really, the Celtics got everything from their starting five tonight. I mean, it really was some kind of night from the Celtics. They played about as well as they could, and we talked about the Celtics needing to figure things out a little while ago. And if the team now has to be, this is how you win. If it's got to be Tatum and Brown take the lion's share of everything and everybody else kind of fills in and finds their niche, that's the way it needs to go. You can't force the ball to Kemba Walker anymore. You can't make sure Gordon Hayward gets his shots. However it's got to work with those two guys at the top, that's how it's got to go for the Celtics. Now, for the Heat tonight, you look at the box score, they didn't really play that poorly. They had a bad third quarter, and they didn't nearly play with the intensity needed. Almost like I felt like the Heat played the third quarter as if, all right, well, we're coming out, and the Celtics, you know, we just beat them pretty badly in the first half, and we didn't even have a great first half. They're done. They're done, and they're going away. And that's kind of how I saw the Heat playing the third quarter. And even though you look at the end, you know, a lot of guys got stats, there was nobody who really had a big night for the Heat. Tyler Hero, while the game was in jeopardy and the game was still up there, was terrible. And he wound up with 14 points, but a lot of it was empty points in the fourth quarter because the Heat never really threatened Boston. Jimmy Buckets did not have a game where he put the team on his back. And that's the key, and that's what the Miami Heat, why I'm surprised it went this way, Mike, is because the Heat have done this. They know when we're going to win, what are we going to do? Jimmy Butler's the guy, right? Other guys can be heroes, but when we need stuff, Jimmy's the guy. Who's the guy that had to lead them tonight and had to be the guy to say, we are to kill the Celtics and to get to the NBA Finals? This had to be a Jimmy Butler game, and it wasn't a Jimmy Butler game. Dragic had a great game, and he has been terrific all through this playoffs and up. He has been so fantastic, and he was the only guy that really had a big game, and then he fouled out late. But this needed to be a Jimmy Butler game, and it wasn't a Jimmy Butler game for the Miami Heat.
Yeah, free throws were about the same. A rebounding margin of 12 in favor of the Celtics in this one. And then a little more efficient with the basketball. And certainly, you know, when we look at the three-point makes, there's your difference and then some. But I think when you got to the second half, Boston got aggressive. Now, first half, as we've talked about, I thought the referees got inserted. And look, that's been the tale of the bubble oftentimes is, you know, put the whistle away. Let these guys get into a flow. A lot of touch fouls, a lot of good acting jobs that the referees are buying. And then getting the stall to go over and take a look for heinous acts or aggressive acts or whatever we're calling them at this point to see if there's something more, right? Just looking for ways to assign flagrants. Just because a guy goes flailing like he just got punched in the kidneys in a Rocky movie, call back to the Jason Cole interview. That it doesn't make it necessarily so, right? It could be a foul, just move on and play. Instead, you have these breaks. But everybody, as we got to the end of the first half, you had several players who already had three fouls. So you start looking at minutes and substitutions at the end of the half, and then you get into the third quarter, more of the same. The aggressiveness of the Celtics, you know, helped to put them over, certainly. Tatum, 21 of his 31, came in the second half. I'd be a little concerned by his slow starts, much like Lakers fans keep wondering why the hell Anthony Davis isn't rebounding all of a sudden. Jason Tatum has decided he's just feeling guys out in the first half, and then he's going to finish with a giant show, right? It's like the end of a giant fireworks spectacular. Kemba Walker, though, did evidently, from some of the quotes that are coming out of the locker room, he did channel his inner Will Ferrell, saying everybody, they've got to calm down and keep their composure and break through. And that's exactly what they did, blitzing out to a 41-point third quarter.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Hey, son, this is for my Heat, because, you know, I picked the Heat to go to the NBA Finals before the playoffs started. Yeah. This is where I'm hoping that this is where Jimmy Butler, because this is his team, and he has found the right atmosphere, the right fit to be the leader, because he's tried in other stops and it just hasn't worked. But this team, it follows around him. this is where I'm hoping the next 24, 36 hours, he says, all right, my bad, get on my back. Game six is me on Sunday. Let's go do it. And they realize that when you're up seven in a clinching game and you come out with that sorry-ass third quarter like they came out with, man, I'll tell you, this is where you need 36 hours of controlled explosion, getting ready to really put it on the Celtics from the jump in game six. Because, like I said, I'm a little nervous right now because there's no reason why the Celtics can't play at this kind of level. But clearly the Heat, what they have going on, they should win. They should win this series. They have been better. But now the Celtics have raised their game. They've kept them alive in this series. And they really need to come out with a big early start in game six on Sunday and win, because this Celtics team is young, and the more confidence you give them, the worse it's going to be. If the Celtics get out to a big lead on Sunday, I don't know that it's going to not be a 20-point win by Boston, and Miami's going to say, all right, we'll come back ready, come back in game seven. And there's going to be talk of the Heat hitting the wall, and have they hit their peak? Have they done it? Was Tyler Hero's win their final big? All the questions are going to wind up being out there. I told you, I'm nervous, and I really would like to see my Heat, come out with a little bit more intensity and take this from the jump on Sunday.
Put that call in to Jimmy Butler's coffee shop and let him know. Know that he doesn't give them out unless they're closing.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Something we do every Friday night here on the show, on every Football Friday, Mike and I give you our big upset special picks for the week in both college football and the NFL. And Mike, I'll start with college football. We're getting the SEC games back this weekend, so yep, Hopefully we get an uptick in interest level and ratings for college football, because they need it. But I really can't go and pick an SEC game when I haven't heard anything about the teams. I haven't seen them play. I'm going to go for my upset special. It's got to be involved with top 25 team. I'm going to say Louisville plus four over Pittsburgh. Louisville's offense is pretty good. Pitt just looked okay against Syracuse. Kenny Pickett is good, but he just looked all right. Malik Cunningham was really good, putting up a lot of points against a pretty good defense. This looks like one of those one possession, high scoring games. So I'll take the points since I'm getting four, and I'll take Louisville plus four over Pittsburgh.
I'm looking for absolute chaos because I'll go after the big dogs, the defending champions. And looking for Mississippi State, Mike Leach to just come in and wing it around. Is the timing going to be right? No. Is the potential there for a 50-point burial? Absolutely. Currently getting 16.5. I wish it was on the other side of 17. But that's the way the cookies crumble. Plus 16.5, Mississippi State.
All right, there you go. Look at you going with Mississippi State. To the National
Football. Mike Leach being crazy, man.
That's true. Yeah. Hey, you know, I mean, whatever floats your boat for the pick, right? That's why you pick it.
But the big boys haven't looked great in their first games. A bit sloppy. LSU lost a lot of talent. Not like it's not shark's teeth that mm-hmm. rotate up and just as sharp as the one that fell out. But we shall see.
To the NFL we go, and my first game I'm going to take. It sounds weird. Counterintuitive to what I've said this week, but I'm going to take Dallas plus five over Seattle. I know all the craziness I say about Dallas, but this is part of it all. They're a 9-7 team that some weeks look great, some weeks they don't. Seattle's coming off an emotional win, and we also know that their pass defense is terrible. All right, it's one of the worst units in the league. Suddenly, hey, Jamal Adams is starting. Why can't they defend the pass? Because Jamal Adams is a box safety. You're welcome. We told you what you were getting. You got him anyway. You watched him just get torched for 400 yards by Cam Newton, who doesn't do it, with a bunch of guys nobody even knows besides Julian Edelman. So the Seahawks are vulnerable. The Cowboys will move the football. This is going to be one of those high-scoring games as well, up in the 30s. And since it's 5 points, I'll take Dallas. I'll even take the Cowboys on the field. But
oh, look at you.
I'll still take the 5 points because this is exactly the kind of game the Cowboys win before they lose two in a row. So I'm taking the Cowboys plus five in this one.
Look at you. I like that quite a bit. Fun pick. How about Cleveland should not be 7 points better than anybody. I know
Cleveland!
Washington's not a team that's going to put up a ton of points, but I think they absolutely terrorize Baker Mayfield up front. This is going to be all on the legs of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. I know Odell Beckham Jr. has been saying all the right things. Look, I know it's not about stats, and that's going to have to go to the wayside this year. I mean, all of these big quotes coming out. But plus seven, over-under is 45. Take the under, and I'll take the Washington football team.
Look at you, WFT from Mike Harmon. My last game I'm going to go, because I like this one. It's a big matchup. You got two 2-0 teams, and Buffalo has gotten a lot of run. The Rams are legit. The Rams' offensive line, and we'll have more on the Rams throughout the show tonight, their offensive line is terrific. They got a bunch of Jags at running back, and they're still running over teams. They will road grade Buffalo's defense into surprise, and they'll win. Weather's not going to be a factor. It's not going to be a factor. You're early in the season, Buffalo. The Rams right now have no problems. They have no problems, and you will see it put on display. It'll be a big bump in the road for the Bills, who are saying, we're going to win the AFC East to go through. Rams get the win. They win on the field. I don't need the 3 points, Mike, but I'll still take them. I'll always take the points if you're going to give them to me. But they went on the field.
I can't show the video to everybody, but I advise you to look at some point. Aaron Donald was just throwing 300-pound people around. I know that doesn't make for great radio, but see the visual to go with it. It's patently absurd what he was doing last week. The other game, I'm going to take your stupid Jets again. It was either them or the Giants, right? Giants against the banged-up 49ers, or I get 11.5 or 12.5, depending on where I'm shopping against the Colts. And this comes down to, can they force a turnover or two from Phillip Rivers, or do they just get run over? I think it's the latter, but 11.5 is a lot of points.